Hallelujah. I have a simple, quick teaching today. The Lord quickened me this morning so to bring encouragement to us. Amen. Lift your hands to heaven and get a drink. Father, I pray nobody leave here sober, but refreshed and filled with your Spirit, healed, delivered, and positioned according to your Spirit. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Would you turn to Isaiah 11, please? Oh, glory. Glory, glory, hallelujah. I want to welcome everybody here that's new. We're all new, right? The Bible says, he who is in Christ is a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things become new. Oh, glory. Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11. Oh, God is good. Thank you, Master. How many of y'all know he's got a plan for you? You know what that's called? Grace. Hallelujah. Grace. And the grace, may the grace of God continue to abound more and more in our lives. Amen? Oh, praise God. You know, when I was driving here this morning, you know, God positions us for a specific reason. Does everybody understand that? And when we disobey the positioning of the Lord, we eat junk food. What? Yes. When you are not positioned where God has placed you to be fed, you eat junk food. Does everybody understand that? And he was sharing with me this morning on the way, he says, I've strategically placed individuals, and sometimes it's for seasons and whatever. Does everybody get it? To be fed. And by feeding, what he's doing is he's feeding us healthy food. So if you're out of position in the season, if you're eating the wrong food in the wrong season, it becomes junk food. Does everybody understand this? I hope so. And the Bible also says that the righteous man's steps are ordered by the Lord, aren't they? Yeah. Amen? Does everybody get this? It's so important, because when we're not eating what God is preparing for us, hello, or we're eating the wrong meal, it doesn't sit right. Something's not right. That's why parents always try to tell their children, don't eat dessert before dinner. Amen? Because it'll be filled on junk food and won't be able to get the real food. And he began to express this to me, and I thought, wow, this is pretty wild. That's why he gives us certain things in season. See, but if the word preached out of season, does everybody get this? Now, we know God's word won't return void, amen? But there's a specific area in time, because we must know God's time and season. Where that when we are getting fed certain things, it's because God is healing us from something or preparing us for something that's coming. And if we're being fed the wrong thing because we're out of position, hello, we're not being healed from something and not getting prepared for what's coming. Does everybody get it? And it becomes junk food. Hello? Does everybody understand this? Good. Now we're going to go on. Isaiah 11. Is everybody there? In verse 1. There shall come forth a rod from a stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear or reverence of the Lord. Now we know that we've called this the sevenfold of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we know that these are attributes also. Amen. Now listen, and we talked about the ministries of kings, which is going to walk in the fullness of this. Does everybody understand that? But I want to share something with you about where it says the spirit of counsel and might. The spirit of counsel and might. And in this, where we're talking about the spirit of might, and I've shared testimony about when the spirit of might came upon me one day, I could have torn a building apart. I understood what Samson felt like. I mean, I could have ran through walls and nothing would have mattered to me. When the spirit of might came upon me, I was getting ready to walk into this place, and the Lord prepared me because something was going to happen. And when the people that were sitting there, who one of them turned at me and said something, and the spirit of might was, the power and the anointing of God was on me so strong, the spirit of might was there, that there was no fear or nothing, and I could have tore everybody apart in this place. I could have ran through the building and pulled all the pillars down if I wanted to. But the Lord was just sharing with me and showing me, and I just stood there, and the radiance of the presence of God and the spirit of might radiated right through where the people could not lift their heads and look at me. They felt the conviction of the Lord so intently because somebody gave a wise remark at a table I was at. I was just walking in. Does everybody understand that? And I haven't felt that since. Darn. I've never felt it again like that, you know. I could use it on Sundays for football, praise God. Praise God. But there is a might and a strength that we need to have, and I'm talking about not what comes upon you, but that's within you. Does everybody understand that? There's a might, I want to talk about a strength that's within us, that is constant. It's not just something when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you. It's constant, always there, you know. Is everybody with me? Praise God. So, and this inner strength, I want you to understand this. This inner strength is actually produced out of your afflictions.
Hello?
There is an inner strength that is produced out of your afflictions, if you allow God to do that. See, you can allow your afflictions to bring you as a woe is me. Get you in oppression and all kinds of other stuff. See, because if you'll utilize the afflictions that are happening in your life to strengthen your inner man, you'll have victory every time. Every time. So your afflictions, you know, when somebody works out and whatever, what are they doing? They're building themselves up. And let me tell you, they're afflicting themselves, aren't they? Amen? People who jog a lot and run a lot, man, they're afflicting themselves. But they're getting stronger too. Same thing with pumping the word. You pump the word, you get stronger too, don't you? Hallelujah. So there is an inner strength that is produced out of your afflictions. Turn to 2 Samuel 22. You know, and I just want to go back for a second. And as the Lord began to share with me about seasons of food, if you look at the feasts of the Lord, every feast had an associated food attached to it. Does everybody get it? Every feast had a certain food that was attached to the feast because it was specific something God was producing within them. So we always want to make sure that we're positioned so we get the right food in the right season. It will bring healing. Does everybody understand it? It'll always bring healing and prepares you for what's coming. Glory. 2 Samuel 22, is everybody there? Amen. Good. In verse something, let's see here. Is there a verse something? Yeah, good. I'll start at verse 36. It said, "You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarge my path underneath me, so my feet do not slip. I have pursued my enemies in what? Destroyed them." You must be a pursuer. "Neither did I turn back again until they were what? Destroyed." Don't wait to be attacked. Attack first. I have destroyed them and wounded them so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet. For you have armed me with what? Strength for battle. You have subdued under me those who rise against me. You have also given me the necks of my enemies so that I destroyed those who hated me. Does everybody see this now? They looked, but there was none to save, even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. Then I beat them as fine as the dust of the earth. I trod them like dirt in the streets, and I spread them out. Now, this is what God wants you to do to your enemy. Hello? He doesn't want you to pet your enemy. He doesn't want you to be soulish about your enemy. He doesn't want you to pick your enemy and move him. He wants you to destroy him. If you read a lot of the Old Testament, that's what he did, didn't he? He sent his armies in to destroy. That's where we are in season from now until we leave this earth to constantly get rid of the enemy out of your territories. You are to constantly move them out. Destroy them. Everybody get it? You are in a battle. And this battle will continue until we leave this planet. Hallelujah. But he says something very powerful. He says, you have strengthened me for what? You have armed me with strength for what? Battle. Battle of what? You are in battle over your soul. Now, where does the enemy attack you? In the mind. So you're in battle over your mind, your emotions, and your will, aren't you? It's constant. The enemy's always trying to get you to think the way he thinks. He's always trying to get you to feel the way he wants you to feel. And he's always trying to get you to make the choices he wants you to make. So there is a battle, but the Bible tells us that we have been armed with strength. So we know that a part of our armor, part of our weapons is strength, isn't it? See, because if you don't have strength, you can't do nothing. Everybody got it? Oh, hallelujah. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Oh, glory. So, today's teaching is called Strength and Weaknesses. Psalm 119. Is everybody there? In verse 28, I believe. In a psalm that cries out and he says, my soul melts from what? Heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove from me the way of lying and grant me your law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me. I cling to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. So he's saying, listen, this strength I need right now is because I'm fighting in the soul. I am fighting. My soul is melting. I'm having a hard time because of the torment of the mind. I'm being attacked in every area. I need your strength. Does everybody understand this? There's an inner strength within you. The Bible says he who's in us is what? Greater than he who's in the world. The Bible says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. It says that we are more than a conquerors. Well, first you better conquer you, so you can become more of a conqueror. Go to Psalm 138. And verse 3. Psalm 138 and verse 3. All glory. He says, in the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me what? Bold with strength in where? My soul. My soul. Your mind, your will, your emotions. It's also including your imaginations. Does everybody get it? You have made me strong. You have granted me strength in my soul. You gave me boldness. See, boldness is an area where you become bold with authority. See, because if you don't act with boldness, if you don't do something, if you don't take your authority, no power is released. Power is not released before authority. Power is released after authority. So some people are waiting, oh man, I'm waiting on it. No man, you got to take authority first. Does everybody get it? You must take your authority before the power is released. Go to Proverbs 10. Oh, is everybody okay? You're all quiet this morning. Is it this afternoon? No, that's why. Glory to God. Did you ever hear the Lord tell you to fortify? Fortify! I'll get up in the morning sometimes, I'll hear, fortify! Fortify. Run around going, fortify! What am I fortifying? And he's saying, strengthen, fortify, you know, support, build up. When you hear fortify, stir yourself up. Why? Because something's about to try and push you out. That means strength, build up, fortify. Because when there's a wave coming, make sure it's the right one. Don't ride the wrong wave. That'll be a teaching in itself. Don't ride the wrong wave, glory. Or wait for the right one, right? For you surfers. You know, children of God are surfers. Hallelujah. And verse 29. It says the what? Would you read it with me? The way of the Lord is strength for the what? Up. So that's God's desire. It says the way of the Lord is strength for the upright. But destruction will come to the workers of iniquity. Go to the next verse. The righteous will what? Never be removed, but the wicked will not inhabit the earth. Wow. Well, keep going. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be what? Cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked, what is perverse. Wow. So we see here that the way of the Lord is strength for the upright. So God desires to give you the strength in your inner man. Somebody got it. But what's bringing the strength? What's training you? Your afflictions. It's on the job training. See, too many people get caught up in their affliction instead of allowing it to be used to strengthen them. That's how you become strong in your weakness. Go to Daniel 11. Daniel chapter 11. Too many people are getting caught up in their weaknesses. Is everybody there, Daniel 11? In verse 32? Daniel 11, 32, let's read it together. It says, those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be what? Strong. And what will they do? Carry out great exploits. Wow. And those who what? Now, so the first thing we must do here, and I'm going to share a couple little things here, about eight of them. You must know him. See, if you don't know him, you can't do great exploits. You must know him, because when you know he's faithful. So while you're going through afflictions, you know he's faithful, no matter what. I don't care if you got a sickness. I don't care what the world has labeled you on. I don't care what the doctor has said. I don't care what your neighbor says about you. Has everybody got it? I don't care what the devil tells you. Jesus said, if you know him, if you really, really know him, not just talk about Him, not read about Him, but know Him. See, there's an area, and that's what Jesus said to His disciples. He said, who do they say that I am? Then He brought it to individual, and He said, who do you say that I am? See, there's an area right now in relationship with the Lord where you got to know Him. Not just know about Him, but know Him. See, God is trying to bring us in the era where we know His character. See, there are things when God begins to deal with you, He doesn't answer you in everything. He expects you to know it by now. Does everybody get it? See, you'll know somebody you hang around with, won't you? Does everybody get that? You know somebody you hang around with. You know what they expect. You know what offends them. You know things. You know things about this person. You know what they eat. You know what they don't eat. Yeah. So you know things about this individual. And this is what God is saying to us. This is a season where you've got to know Him. You've got to know Him. Why? Because if you know Him, strength will come out of your weaknesses. Strength will come out of your weakness. If you know Him, the first thing you must know is you must know Him and know that He is faithful to complete what He started. The Bible says He's the author, I call it, and He's the developer of your faith. So see, He's trying to build you up in every area. He's never trying to bring you down. He's trying to build you up. What? Strong in the Lord and not your own. So strength will come out of your weaknesses. First thing is, if you know Him. If you what? Know Him. Must know Him and His faithfulness. In fact, the Bible tells us that we're to eat from His faithfulness. We're to eat off of His faithfulness. Amen? Go to 1 Corinthians 1. In verse 26. Everybody there? Would you read it with me? For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. That means invited. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. That no flesh should glory in His presence. The second thing I want you, what you're to understand is that He chose you. You didn't choose Him. See, when you really get an understanding that He chose you, then you'll get a full understanding that He's faithful. Because you didn't choose Him, He chose you. Has everybody got it? And you got to remember something. He didn't choose you because of any ability of yours. But because you were a weak and a bonehead. You're out of line, out of order, and out of place. Remember, He chose you. You didn't choose Him because you were what? Weak in Him. You were weak. He didn't choose you for your strengths. You know, too many people look at things that people, oh man, God can use that for strength. No, God uses your weaknesses. Does everybody get it? See, that's why the Bible says, be strong in the Lord. See, once you're strong in the Lord, He uses you in many things. But if you're strong in yourself, that's why God doesn't want you to rely on your ability, your talent, and sometimes your, well, all the time, your intellect. It's a terrible thing. So, the first thing is, So for God to utilize your weaknesses and turn them into strengths is you must know Him. Did you ever get sick? You know, when you later you go, oh, people are like, oh, temperature, all kinds of stuff, people sick. And in that your flesh is screaming out, you know, help. Your soul is going, woe is me. And your spirit is saying, if it's strong, shut up. He's faithful to bring you through. You know Him, and those that know Him will do great exploits. Take the rest while you can. Because we have work to do. See, even that period of time of your weakness, it can be turned into a strength. Why? How many times you've been sick? You've been through the stinking thing over and over. Does everybody get it? You know, the problem is when you get caught up in your sickness. When you get caught up in your affliction, in your circumstance. Then it begins to drain you. It begins to drain you. Fear begins to grip. And the devil begins to tell you, you're going to die. Oh, God! Instead of saying, hallelujah. Now I can get rid of this stinky place. God's not giving me a spirit of death, but power, love, and sound mind. And the spirit will say, it's not time to go. I want you to fight. Wait a minute. He's armed me with what? Strength for what? Battle. You know, too many people play possum and expect the devil to leave them, and it ain't going to work. You can play dead all you want in front of the devil. He knows because he sees right through all your flesh. You can't play possum. When you're down, he's still harpooning you. He sees right through all of that stuff. He calls in every letter and every force from everywhere. I'm telling you, people try to play dead. Like they're going to trick the devil. That's one of his moves. Hallelujah. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world. Amen? The what? Foolish things. Praise God. Go to 2 Corinthians 12. Remember, He didn't choose you on your ability. He chose you on your weakness. 2 Corinthians 12. Did you ever go get a job and somebody told you you're too qualified? Yeah. You know why? Because they want to train you their way. Does everybody get it? See, so God took all the weak ones so He can train them His way. And hey, let me tell you something. He's not done with you. Isn't that wonderful? He's not done with you. You've not made it. What about the places I'm strong? Be careful. The Bible says you're strong in the Lord, not in you. It still blows my mind. Oh, I still don't understand how I got here. I remember being in the pit crying out for help. 14 years later, whatever. Hallelujah. I wasn't born this way. But He took my weaknesses and turned them into strengths. Because now I realize it isn't me. It's Him. Wow. Let me tell you something. Be careful of somebody that boasts about their ability. Stay away. You never know when he'll be struck. Yeah, man, I've been doing this for years. I know it by heart. Praise God. You better put the shield of faith all around you. 2 Corinthians 12. Verse 9, I think. Sounds good. Oh, let's start at 7. Glory to God. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in what? Weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, I want to share something interesting about this scripture. Because first of all, how many of you know that you were born as an offspring of the kingdom of darkness? When you came into this world, you were Satan's kid. But your name was written in the book of life. As soon as you come in here. So even if you die before you get born again in that area of a certain age of accountability, that's why there's no children in hell. Anybody who's gone to hell has never seen children there. Amen? So your name is already written in the book of life. Everybody's name is written in the book of life. Until the day they die. Then the Bible tells us in the book of Revelations, it's either blotted out or kept in. Amen? Okay, so in this, glory to God, we see something very powerful now. Because we were born in darkness, what's the weakness of us, even when we're born again, our what? Flesh. And it's weak to obey God, isn't it? But it's sure strong to obey the devil. Oh, man, you kid who wants to go back home all the time. You got to keep putting it in place. That's why it doesn't like to come into worship. You got to take it by its throat and throw it in the presence of God. That's where the Bible says that we want to be strong in the inner man. Why? So God wants us to be strength so that your afflictions is going to cause strength to your inner man. Why? Because you're going to know better. So when that day of service, whatever, you're getting ready to get in God's presence, the devil's going, you know what, there's a lot of things you got to do here today. And then he tries to, get you all, and then your flesh starts bucking and kicking, and then you start going, then the devil goes, this isn't for you. Come on. Their service is a long time sometimes, too. You need to tell your flesh to die. Put it on a Holy Ghost frying pan. When you hear the rebellion of the flesh speaking out, man, take dominion, muzzle its mouth, stick a Holy Ghost rag in its mouth, and throw it in the presence of God. Amen. Until, what are you doing? You're chastening your own flesh. You're afflicting your flesh. Does everybody get it? Now, Paul was calling out, Lord, you've given me wonderful revelations. I mean, I get all of these things, but I can tell people, I've been in a third heaven back and all, man, I've been cruising. He said, but what is this thorn in my flesh? It just doesn't leave me. Now, the word infirmity means weakness. Amen? So what was weak? His flesh. And he said it was a thorn from Satan. Of course, your flesh is associated with darkness, isn't it? Amen? That's why you need the anointing to take dominion over your flesh. Because your flesh always... Now, the Lord cannot remove his flesh or he would have died. That's why he says, my grace is what? Sufficient. It was Paul's flesh that was hindering him. It never said anything about a sickness or anything else. It was his flesh. Why? Because he knew him. He knew him. Didn't he? He knew him, and he was getting revelations and so forth. Man, he was taking in the spirit all kinds of things. He had joy and strength in the inner man. He said, man, God, what's this thing that keeps bothering me? It's called your flesh. Man, it's a thorn in me. Somebody take, Lord, please remove this thing. Jesus said, listen, my plan is sufficient. Get your eyes off yourself. Yeah, I don't know if you told Paul to die, but now look at, go to verse 10 and look at how he responds. Now, Paul gets another revelation. Therefore, I take what? pleasure, glory, in what? Infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am what?
Strong.
Strong. Oh, hallelujah. Paul got the revelation. Yeah, man, that's nothing but my flesh. All right. Your plan is better. I'm going to enjoy your plan now. Yeah. So you know what? I'm going to change my whole attitude. I'm going to make the confession from now on that I enjoy my afflictions. Because I know that they're turning weakness into a strength. They're exposing my weaknesses that I may become strong now. Does everybody understand that? In who? In Him. It says here, therefore I take what? Pleasure in infirmities. Glory to God. In reproaches and need and persecution and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Did you ever get real tired? Oh man, I don't know how much longer I can go. Oh, that's when you speak the word. When I am weak, then I am strong. Why? Because you're getting your eyes off yourself. Then you're relying on your flesh. You're relying on the carnality, the natural realm. We're supposed to be walking in the Spirit. That's not walking in the Spirit relying on you. That's walking in the flesh. Does everybody get it? Oh, hallelujah. So the second or the third thing, we must understand that strength is made perfect in weakness. When we are weak according to the worldly standard, we are made strong in Him. So there must be a good understanding that our weaknesses, our strengths are made perfect in our what? Weaknesses. Our strengths are made what? Perfect in our what? Weaknesses. That's the third thing. Why? So that when your afflictions come around, you can enjoy them. Hallelujah. Now, remember, what do we talk about the majority of your afflictions are at? In your what? Soul. Does everybody get it? In your mind, your will, and your what? Emotions. But you know that your mind, your will, and emotions, they're always associated with who's taking dominion over your flesh. Does everybody get it? See, when the fiery dart comes in, it hits you. Oh. And the first thing you think of, oh, because there was a message on that dart. Oh. And then as soon as you think something, you see something. And as soon as you see something, you feel something. Hello? Then there's a response or a reaction. A response is according to the new man, or a reaction is according to the old man. You're going to do either woe is me or to God be the glory. You're either going to battle or you're going to play possum. And that ain't going to work, playing dead. James 1. Hallelujah. Is it warm in here? Man. Whew, it's cooking in here. Flesh burgers. Glory to God. James chapter 1. What does it say somewhere in here? Let's see. In verse 2. Thank you. Is everybody else warm? Well, lift your hands and get hot. Praise God. Whew. Thank you. Let me hold my pages down. In verse 2, would you read it with me? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into, not if you fall. Does everybody see that? People try to avoid it. You can't. Oh, let's see, if I'm real good, I can avoid this. No, then you're relying on you. You just fell into one. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its what? Perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking nothing. That's God's desire, that you be perfect, complete, and lack nothing. How is that going to happen? And not until your weaknesses are turned into what? Strengths. So first of all, your afflictions are going to help you. Now, I'm not asking everyone to run out here and throw yourself in front of a car. That's not the affliction I'm talking about. That's called stupidity. The affliction is going to come against those thoughts and so forth. Amen? Your emotions. Somebody's going to come up and offend you. Oh! What are you going to do? Bless them. Amen? Oh, Lord, I forgive them. I bless them. Get me away from them before I kill them. God will help you. You know better than that. Yeah, I know. Got caught in the flesh. Praise God. Where to what? Count it all joy. Count your afflictions all joy. Are not trials and tribulations afflictions? Count it all joy. That's the first, fourth thing. Okay, the first thing we talked about was what? You must know Him. The second one is you must understand that He chose you. Right? Second, the third thing is that understand that strength is going to be made perfect in your what? Weakness. And the fourth thing is count it all joy. Why? Because it's working. It's working for you. It's working on your behalf. It just doesn't seem like it. It's because your carnal mind is trying to figure it out. Did you know that everything in the spirit is opposite? When you say hello in the natural realm, you're actually saying goodbye. Do you get it? I got two yes. 2 Corinthians 13. Second Corinthians 13. Is everybody there? In verse 4. For though He was crucified in what? Weakness, yet He lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in Him, but we shall live with Him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. So we got to understand that Jesus became weak and crucified so that we could become strong. Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40. Oh, glory. Isaiah 40 and verse 31. Would you read it with me? Is everybody there? Pages are still turning. Let's read it. Verse 31. But those who what? Wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. How many of y'all need your strength renewed? Praise God. Then wait on Him. Now I want to share with you about wait. Wait doesn't mean sit there and twiddle your thumbs. Oh, I'm waiting on the Lord. Do you know what a waiter is? He serves, doesn't he? Amen. There's a lot of people waiting on the Lord and becoming couch potatoes. I'm waiting on the Lord. What are you waiting for? I'm waiting for Him to tell me something. Okay, get up. You want a word from the Lord? Get up, repent, and get moving. And those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with eagles' wings. Like eagles too. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. And they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Why? Because you're waiting on the Lord. You're waiting on Him. You're waiting on Him. You're serving Him. Does everybody get it? Oh, hallelujah. Learn to wait. Now, there are times when we've got to wait for direction, don't we? But while we're waiting, we're still serving, aren't we? Okay, yes. May I serve this table? Yes, serve this table. And you're waiting on direction. So you must wait on direction. And that's the 15. Learn to wait for direction or confirmation. And willing to learn the way. Amen? Praise God. Psalm 16. Psalm 16. Psalm 16 and verse 11. Now, let's start at verse 10. Everybody there, let's read it together. You shall not leave my soul in Sheol. In other words, hell, torment. Nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. And your presence is what? Fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Wow. So we must learn to maintain the presence of God. 6. In His presence there's fullness of joy. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our what? Strength. Maintain His presence. In what? Praise and worship. Don't tell somebody you know Jesus if you can't praise Him and worship Him. Has everybody got it? Don't be, if you're a miserable believer, stay home until you get right. Do not go around telling, yeah, I know Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Don't tell anybody you know my dad if you're miserable. You got a woe is me spirit? Go get deliverance. Amen? But don't go around telling people that you know Jesus when you're miserable, man. Fortify yourself. Fortify yourself. Stir yourself up. Get the joy of the Lord. Deny yourself and die. It's real simple. Proverbs 24. Oh, but you don't know my circumstance. Thank God. I don't want to know your circumstance. Because I don't want to become like you. Hello? So are you allowing your circumstance to run your life? Hello? Or are you allowing your circumstance to strengthen you? Proverbs 24. Is everybody there? Good. In verse 5 and 6. Strength in weakness. That's us. Ex-foolish ones. Verse 5 and 6. Would you read it with me? 24, 5 and 6. A wise man is what? Strong. Yes, a man of what? Knowledge increases strength. By wise counsel you will wage your own war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety. So, we must know something, and this is 7. The Bible says increased knowledge. In other words, you must know His promises. Increased knowledge. Know His promises. Know His promises. And increase the knowledge of His word in you. In Psalm 34 and verse 19, you can write it down. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of all of them. Not just one or two. And He doesn't say, let's see, I'll deliver you out of this one, but give me a call back in about 3 months. It says He delivers you out of all of them. The problem is people miss the way of escape. See, if you're so caught up in you, you miss what God is trying to do. That's why it's important to have fellowship. If you're not in fellowship, you're not in fellowship. It starts right here, in fellowship. To be in fellowship. Does everybody get it? Many are the afflictions that are righteous. Go to Philippians 4. I love this one. Philippians 4 and verse 4. Hallelujah. Does everybody see it? In verse 4? What's the first word?
Rejoice.
Hallelujah. Rejoice. I mean, so you it's more than once. Rejoice. It's a cycle. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. It's always echoing. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Rejoice in what?
Lord.
In the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord occasionally.
Always.
One time.
Always.
Only when He blesses you.
Always.
In your afflictions.
Always.
Mm. Out of the mouth of babes. Rejoice always. Always. Can everybody say always?
Always.
Then He says, again, I will say rejoice. That's a choice. You all know that. So you have a choice every single day you get up. You can either shake hands at the devil or take the hand of God. Rejoice. But you don't know what I'm going through. I told you. I don't want to know what you're going through. Sometimes either does God. Hello? Come on, you brought this to me 16 times today. You don't think I know? Oh, but Lord, you don't know. No, I do know. That's the problem. I really do know. Now make the choice and rejoice in your affliction. Some people just don't want to. They love being woes and misas. That's how they get attention. Oh, look at my afflictions. I'm a self-martyrist. Hello? I'm a sufferer for Jesus. Bummer. I thought He paid it for me. The suffering I go through is myself trying to stay away from me. If I could bury me every day, it'd be good. See, but when you are led by the Spirit, you bury yourself. Amen? But you first got to be led by the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. He says, rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is what? See, when you're joyful, they people know that the Lord is at hand. When you're miserable, they're like, well, who's your God? Amen? The Lord is what? At hand. Be what? Anxious for everything. Be anxious for nothing. When people are miserable, they're anxious. That's what causes them to be miserable. Man, I can't wait for this, and I can't wait for that. And I need to do that. I don't need to do that. Me, myself, and I. It lets you know that you're out of position. The devil uses anxiety to get an individual out of position, and they can't receive from God. Why? Because the carnal mind can't receive the things of the Spirit. Yes, but you don't know my affliction. I told you. I don't want to know. Just rejoice. In other words, like, who can fix it anyways but God? Hello? Just rejoice. And don't be anxious. Wait on the Lord. Hello? Rejoice always. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all of your carnal understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Wow. Let's go to Luke 22. Everybody all right? Strength and weakness. Why are we hearing this today? So you can be freed up and get ready. There's a storm a-coming. Some of us are in the storm right now. But you can surf your way right out of this one and turn it into a strength. In Luke 22, praise God. Are you there? In verse 24. Now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles execute lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. It's called waiting, isn't it? For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves. But you are those who have continued with me in my trials, and I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink of my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Does everybody see that? Do what? Strengthen your brethren. This eighth thing I want to share with you is to strengthen your brethren. One of the things that you want to always be able to do, see, your trials, your afflictions, your weaknesses are bringing strengths, aren't they? In this, you've experienced certain things which is going to allow you to what? Strengthen your brother. See, Jesus said, freely give, for freely you have received. One of the things that assists you. Now, the number 7 means complete and perfect, but the number 8 means new beginning. Well, see, when you begin, that's why the Bible tells us if you got an affliction, pray for someone else. In the same affliction, you'll find that you'll get healed. Amen? Because what are you doing? You're sowing in that same affliction or the same circumstance in your life, trying to help someone else so that you can get help. Does everybody get it? Now, I want to repeat these. The first thing is a what? Know him. The second thing is understand that he chose you. You didn't choose him. The third thing is to know that strength is made perfect in your weaknesses. The fourth thing is to count it all joy. The fifth thing is learn how to wait for direction. The sixth thing is what? In his presence is what? Maintain his presence, right? In what? Praise and worship. And the seventh thing is what? Increase the knowledge of his word, right? Know his promises. And the eighth thing is a what? Strengthen your brethren. Now go to Ephesians 3. Y'all get it? Ephesians 3:14. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit, where? In the inner man. And that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Hallelujah. I'm going to close it. Romans 8. Romans 8. And verse 26. Just to let you know, you're not alone. Everybody goes through the same thing. Verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. In our what? For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So that's wonderful to pray in the Holy Ghost. Just pray in the Spirit. In verse 27, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the what? Will of God or the grace of God. Now verse 28, would you all read it with me? For we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew he also predestined to be what? Conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Do you get it?
Amen.
It's for you. Your strength. There is truly strength in your weaknesses. Let your weaknesses be turned into strengths. Why? You know what? You're being conformed, aren't you? Into his image and likeness. Look how much Jesus had to go through. He went through so that you and I could have that exchange. Father, we thank you for our trials and tribulations. We thank you for your word. And Lord, every area where we've grumbled and complained of our infirmities, our foolishness, we ask for your forgiveness. Prepare our hearts to take communion here. Oh, we desire. We want to fulfill the first part is to know you. The first one to know you. To know you. My brother Paul cried out, to know your suffering, that I may know you in your sufferings. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Would you all say that with me? For when I am weak, then I am strong. Praise you, Lord. Praise you.